Oh, brothers and sisters, Brother John here, and today we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 31, and we're going to match it with the book of Revelation, and we're going to pinpoint when the rapture will occur according to Scripture. For your information, I do believe that the rapture is going to happen before the seven-year Great Tribulation, which is also known as God's wrath, and I'm going to prove to you in the Scriptures, starting with Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 31, that says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." This means that every eye will see him, just like the Apostle John saw in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." From the east to the west he will appear in glory, shining as bright as lightning. "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." A carcass is a dead body. Jesus' body was dead, but is now alive. He rose again, but he is using the same body that was dead. He still has the same wounds that are on his hands and on his rib. He still has the whip marks on his body. The dead body is referring to Jesus. The eagles are referring to us being gathered to his dead body that was made alive again. It was resurrected from the dead and was brought back to life. The body may appear as dead, but the Holy Spirit is alive forevermore. Remember, Jesus told us, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." This mention of a dead body is likely a hint that is pointing us to the second Passover being the rapture feast, because the second Passover was not only instituted for people that were on a long journey, but it was also instituted for the reason of a dead body. Just like eagles gather together at a carcass, likewise shall we also be gathered together to meet our Lord in the air. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." You see, we will be gathered together unto him at the rapture, and we will forever be with the Lord. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Notice that the stars here are falling to the earth. Where else do we see this sign occurring in Scripture? We see this in the Revelation 12 sign, right before the woman gives birth to the man-child, which is us, the church. "The dragon's tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." This happens again before the woman gives birth. The birth is the birth of the church. This is the rapture, folks. This is not Armageddon. This is not when he returns on a horse with all the saints. This is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. This is the beginning of the time of his wrath. We get caught up to God's throne and the wrath comes down. It happens at the same time. Throughout the scriptures, whenever you see the mentioning of stars that are falling to the earth, these are all the same sign. And it happens right before the rapture. The stars fall to the earth, then the woman gives birth and the child is caught up to the throne. That's according to the Revelation 12 sign. And we also see stars here falling in Matthew chapter 24 verse 29 right before the coming of the Son of Man. It's a perfect match, meaning that this event when the stars fall to the earth is the sign that happens right before the rapture. The rapture happens before the 7 years of wrath. And this sign proves it. How? The Revelation 12 sign. Revelation 12 is a summary of Daniel's 70th week, and it starts with the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. What we see is the dragon is casting one-third of the stars to the earth, quickly followed by the woman, heavenly Jerusalem, giving birth to the man-child that is the church. Notice that the stars fall to the earth before the woman gives birth. Remember that, because that's very important. It proves that the rapture happens before the 7 years of God's wrath, that is also known as the 7-year Great Tribulation. After the woman gives birth, we see the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. This 1,260 days is the first half of the Great Tribulation. During this first half, we see the two witnesses prophesying. Then we see a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then notice it says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." That word woe is pointing us to the middle of the 7-year Great Tribulation. The last three trumpets are the last three woes, which are the last 42 months of Daniel's 70th week. And that period is also known as a time, times, and half a time, which is 3.5 years. But just remember that the wording is very important, because it helps us to rightly divide the word. The first half is never mentioned as 42 months. Neither is it ever mentioned as a time, times, and half a time. That's important because it allows us to divide the times rightly. Okay, the first half is always known as the 1,260 days. And the second half is always known as a time, times, and half a time. Or it's also known as 42 months. Or it could even be referred to as 3.5 days, which are days of years. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. 2 things to notice here. Number 1 is that the woman is being nourished for a times, time, and half a time. That is the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Notice that it didn't say 1,260 days. That's so that we can rightly divide the two halves as separate and 2 different halves. They are never named the same, so that we can rightly divide the word. The second thing I want you to notice is that the woman is being kept from the face of the serpent. Now notice that this was not mentioned earlier when it was referring to the 1,260 days. Why not? Because the serpent was not cast to the earth yet. Not until the 5th trumpet, which happens at the middle of the 7 years, is the serpent released from the bottomless pit and comes up to the earth. That is the beast that comes out of the earth. Now the woman needs to be kept from the face of the serpent. And this happens during the last half of Daniel's 70th week, that is known as the times, time, and half a time. This is when Israel is going to be scattered all over the world again. And this would be the last time that Israel would be scattered. Yeah, but in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Yes, it does say that. But what many fail to realize is that there is a huge difference between tribulation and great tribulation. Daniel's 70th week is a week of God's wrath. The whole week is the Great Tribulation. You see, since the time that Adam first sinned, the world has had tribulation. There's been wars, there's been famines, there's been pestilences, there's been the killing of innocent people on a daily basis. That's tribulation. Okay, Jesus told us that in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Notice he didn't say that you would have great tribulation, but only tribulation. Tribulation means persecution, affliction, or distress. Okay, everyone has experienced some level of distress in their lives if they have lived long enough. But again, there is a big difference between tribulation and great tribulation. The church as a whole has endured tribulation from the very start, which was approximately 2,000 years ago. And there's proof of this in the scriptures. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 that says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." Okay, so who is this talking about? This is talking about the churches of God. And it plainly states here that the churches have endured tribulation from the beginning. Okay, because Paul wrote this at the very beginning of the early church. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 4, where it says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." So what is it saying here? Okay, Paul is telling the church from the very beginning that they know that they're going to suffer tribulation. Now, is he talking about Daniel's 70th week? No, he's not. He's just talking about tribulation, distress. Okay, you have to rightly divide that word. He's not talking about Daniel's 70th week. We know that for a fact because Daniel's 70th week still has not happened yet. This is a future event, and we have to rightly divide that word. Daniel's 70th week is never referred to as the tribulation in Scripture. It is always referred to as the Great Tribulation. This is going to be a time unlike any other time in history since the time of the flood of Noah. The earth has never experienced the wrath of God, and to call God's wrath tribulation is simply an insult to God, because God's wrath is great tribulation. You have to rightly divide that word. The world has experienced tribulation from the very beginning, since the time of Adam, but the time of God's wrath is a time unlike any other. The whole entire 7-year period is going to be great tribulation. The very first trumpet, you see 1/3 of all of the trees burnt up. The waters are turning to blood. The rivers are turning bitter. The entire period is going to be great tribulation. So you see that the church as a whole has suffered much tribulation over the past 2,000 years. Many brothers and sisters have been martyred for their faith. If we were to estimate the number of Christians that were killed for their faith, it would be in the hundreds of millions over the past 2,000 years. But the time of Jacob's trouble is the great tribulation. It is the time of God's wrath, and we have to rightly divide that word. And please stop calling Daniel's 70th week the tribulation. It is not the tribulation, it is the great tribulation. This is the reason for the confusion in the church, okay? They see the word tribulation and they automatically assume that it's Daniel's 70th week, when that is just completely false. The scriptures make that clear, okay? Paul says that the churches of God are going to endure tribulation. Is he talking about the great tribulation? No, he was talking to that specific church during that time frame, during that period of time when he was writing. And the tribulation that he was talking about was the persecution, the killings of the early church. Okay, we know that Nero killed many Christians. That was tribulation. Was that the great tribulation? No. Rightly divide the word. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Notice here it says, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." What is the sign? The sign is in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun is going to turn to darkness. This darkness will be a supernatural darkness that will either be caused by the cloud that the Lord is going to appear on when he comes down from heaven, or it can also be when heavenly Jerusalem comes down from heaven and the kingdom blocks out the sun. This makes a lot of sense because Jerusalem above is mother to us all. And this would fulfill the woman being clothed with the sun. If heavenly Jerusalem blocks out the sun, she will be clothed with it. The clothing could also be a parable, meaning that she is clothed with Jesus's righteousness. We all know that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be clothed with the sun means to be clothed with Jesus's righteousness. When the sun is darkened, the moon will also not give her light. This happens during a blood moon. The stars will also fall onto the earth, and all of this happens at the same exact time. This is the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. This is the rapture sign. Not the sign of Armageddon when Jesus comes on a horse. Okay, there is no mention of a horse. In Revelation chapter 6 verses 12 through 17, we see that this sign happens at the opening of the sixth seal, which is the start of the great tribulation, which lasts for 7 years. The first five seals are not Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week starts at the sixth seal. Most people have been taught false doctrine regarding this. Many people have been taught that the rapture happens in the fourth or the fifth chapter, and that all of the seals are God's wrath. But this is man's interpretation. This is not what the Word of God says. The first five seals are not the wrath of God. The first time that the word wrath is used in Revelation is at the opening of the sixth seal. That's because that's when the great day of his wrath begins. And the scriptures specifically state this. I've noticed that a lot of folks like to quote Sir Isaac Newton about the times of the end. And his quote says, "About the times of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies and insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition." These are also the same folks that don't take Revelation chapter 6 verse 17 literal, which says that the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand. They won't accept the literal word of God about the time in which his wrath comes, but will insist that God's wrath comes at the first seal, ignoring what the Bible says and choosing their own interpretation of the scripture instead of what the Word of God says, the Holy Bible. Revelation chapter 6 verse 17 tells us plainly when the wrath comes, but folks reject what it says to try to fit their own views of the end times and what they were taught, and they try to hold on to their false doctrine that they were taught by men, all the while ignoring the literal interpretation of scripture. Matthew goes on to say, "And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Notice the bridegroom is sending his groomsmen, the angels, to lift up the bride here, to gather her from the four winds, from all over the world, to gather us together to meet our Lord in the air. This is ancient Jewish wedding customs to a T. So all of the proof is there, and I'll go ahead and I'll read Matthew chapter 24 verses 27 through 31 again quickly. "For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So where are they gathering the elect to? Mark chapter 13 verse 27 makes it very clear. "And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." We are being gathered from all over the world. They are taking us from earth to heaven. This is proof of the rapture. The only time that folks get gathered by angels from the earth to heaven is at the rapture. It is undeniable proof that this is talking about the rapture. What other reason would they be gathering people from the earth, taking them to heaven? This is to fulfill what John wrote in chapter 14 verses 1 through 3. where he said that he goes to prepare a place for us and that he would come again to receive us and take us to be where he is, in his Father's house. So to those who say that this is the second coming, that it's the Battle of Armageddon, are there any horses mentioned here in this verse? There's not. There's none. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is the rapture. Okay, the only time that angels come to gather everybody all over the world and to take them to heaven is at the rapture. And that's exactly what this verse just said. It's undeniable proof that this is the rapture and not Armageddon. Also, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 goes on to say this about the coming of the Son of Man. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What coming? The same coming Matthew just spoke of in Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 31, which is the coming of the Son of Man for his bride, the church. This is not Armageddon, okay? It's like the days of Noah, that he saved Noah before the flood came. Okay, that's going to be like the rapture. We get raptured before the wrath comes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 39 says, "And know not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You see here again, it's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. The coming happens right before the wrath. It is a rescue event. We go up, the wrath comes down. So there you have it. The rapture happens at the very start of the 7-year Great Tribulation, and we are rescued out of the Great Tribulation. Okay, at the very beginning, we are rescued out of the Great Tribulation. We go up, and the Great Tribulation begins. We see this very clearly also in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, which says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." This is the sign of our redemption that Luke spoke of in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. "And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." These are the same stars that the dragon casts to the earth before the woman gives birth, which is the rapture, before the woman gives birth. So the stars fall first, that's the sign, and then the rapture happens. And this all happens at the opening of the sixth seal at the same time. "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Now, do you remember that the first time that the Lord delivered the children of Israel, what did he do? He split the sea open to rescue his children. The second time, he's going to split open heaven. Heaven is going to open like a scroll that is being rolled up, and he's going to rescue his children, the church. This is our Red Sea moment. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Notice here that all of these folks are hiding. This is proof that this is not Armageddon. At Armageddon, all of these people, all of the chief captains and these military men and all of these people are going to be charging to fight the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon. Nobody's going to be hiding at that time. This is not Armageddon. At that time, everybody is going to be making war. He says he's going to gather all the nations to make war against Jerusalem. But here we see they're all hiding in the rocks and in the caves. This is again proof that it's not Armageddon. This is the rapture. This is the start of Daniel's 70th week. This is not the end of the week. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Again, it literally tells us that the great day of his wrath is come. Where are the folks that quote Isaac Newton's prophecy? Where are they now? Who is going to take the literal word of God here? "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." Notice the four angels. These are the same four angels that were mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, that gathered the elect from earth to heaven. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Notice what they're saying here. Hurt not the earth. If this was the end of Daniel's 70th week, why would they bother to say, Hurt not the earth? Why would they bother to say, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees? When you see the very first trumpet, one third of all of the trees are burnt up. The sea is turning to blood. There's going to be total destruction. But they're saying here not to harm the earth. Why? Because the wrath has not came down yet. God has to protect his people before the wrath comes by putting a seal on their foreheads. He is sealing the 144,000 to protect them from his wrath. Notice that this event did not happen at the first seal. Why? Because the first seal was not his wrath. His wrath is about to begin right now, and that's the reason why they're being sealed, to protect them from God's judgments, to protect them from God's wrath. All of this is happening, and it's still the sixth seal. We're still in the sixth seal, okay? Remember that. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This great multitude is us, the church, that was just raptured to heaven. The multitude is so great that no man can number us, and that we are from every nation and every language and every tongue. And Jesus just gave us his righteous white robes to put on, and we're praising God. It goes on to say, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Notice he's saying, where did they come from? That's because we were just caught up to God's throne in a twinkling of an eye. One moment it was empty, the next moment there is a huge multitude that nobody can number, that was just raptured to God's throne. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest? And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. We were just rescued out of the start of the great tribulation. All thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shedding his righteous blood on the cross. That blood washes us and makes us white and clean and without blemish before the throne of God. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Praise God. God is good all the time. So you see, we are all in heaven before any of the seven trumpets are blown. The seven trumpets are 7 years of wrath. Trumpets 1 through 4 last 1,203 score days, which is the first half. And the second half is known as the last three trumpets, which is also known as the last three woes. And this happens at the second half of Daniel's 70th week. And during the second half is the time when the beast is going to be reigning on the earth for a time, and half a time. And this is the worst half of Daniel's 70th week, because Satan is going to be reigning on the earth. After the 7 years is accomplished, Jesus will return and tread the winepress and gather all the nations to battle at Armageddon. And this will likely take 7 days just to gather everybody to battle against Jerusalem. During this time is likely when the last seven bowls are going to be poured out. The bowls are the worst of all of the judgments and can last no longer than a week, because people cannot survive without water for very long. And all the water has turned to blood during this period. So if folks have nothing to drink, they're likely to all die within about a week. Okay, so this is the reason why I say the seven bowls happen at the very end and are likely only 7 days long. Remember that we are the children of the light, the children of the day. With the sign of his coming, we can know the day because we can pinpoint every single blood moon that will ever occur. And one of these blood moons will be it. Without the sign of his coming, we won't know the day or the hour, and we wouldn't know the time of his coming. We would be in the darkness and he would come as a thief. But with the sign, we can know the hour, just like Revelation chapter 3 verse 3 says, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Implying that if we are watching, we can know the hour. So again, the sign is that there will be a great earthquake, the sun will be darkened and the moon will turn to blood, and the stars will fall onto the earth. When you see all of these things, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. This is why I say that the blood moon on May 15th and May 16th is the highest watch time yet. The blood moon is going to occur at the feet of the woman and in the scales of judgment. And this blood moon is occurring exactly 2,000 years since Nisan 1 of 29 AD. Okay, if we're using the 364-day calendar that was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this could be the day of the Lord. This could be the start of his wrath. And I believe that the rapture can only occur on a blood moon. This is according to scriptures. This is according to the sign of his coming. The sun turns to darkness, the moon turns to blood, and the stars fall to the earth before the woman gives birth, which is the rapture. Okay? The man-child is caught up to God's throne. That's the harpazo in the Greek. And then we see Daniel's 70th week start. And then we see the 1,203 score days. Then we see the 42 months, which altogether is 7 years, which altogether is the Great Tribulation period, which is known as Daniel's 70th week. Not only that, but this blood moon is happening on a Moedim. It's happening on the second Passover. Okay, and the second Passover was instituted for folks that are on a long journey. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 19 through 20 tells us that the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Okay, the good man is Jesus. The bag of money refers to his reward being with him. And the day appointed is his Moedim. Which Moedim? The long journey refers to that Moedim, which is the second Passover. And all throughout the scriptures and the gospels, we see in Jesus' parables that he refers to himself as the good man. And we also see that he has been on a long journey for 2,000 years. So I believe that he was hinting us at the time of his coming, and that he was hinting us that he would return on a blood moon on the second Passover. We will not see another blood moon on the second Passover until another 10 years from now, in the year 2032. So I hope and I pray that this be the year, folks, because we're seeing a convergence of signs unlike any other time before. The deadline to the fig tree generation is coming up on June 20th. We get that number by counting backwards 2,520 days, which is the duration of Daniel's 70th week. We count backwards from the day of March 13th of 2029. That is the last day that Israel will be 80 years old. The next day is their birthday and they turn 81. And counting backwards takes us to June 20th of this year, 2022, being the deadline. And May 15th and 16th is the last blood moon that will fit the 80-year fig tree generation timeline, Daniel's 70th week. And we know that the moon must turn to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, which is the time of his wrath, which is Daniel's 70th week. So that means that the Great Tribulation period must begin on May 15th or 16th during the time of the blood moon. And if it doesn't happen, that means that the 80-year fig tree generation interpretation was incorrect. But there are still other prophecies that we can look at. For instance, we still have Hosea's two-day prophecy, and that is pointing us to the rapture being in our generation and being very soon. But we still have many other prophecies to look forward to. For instance, the other prophecy is that we're coming up on the end of the 483 years since the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt. And then we also have the 1290 days and 1335 days prophecy that's all pointing us to this year. So I believe that this year could be it. I'm of the belief that this might be the 120th Great Jubilee year, if God is going by the ancient Enoch calendar of 364 days out of the year. This was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. This will be right on time for Daniel's 70th week of 7 years to start. To fulfill the scriptures, the rapture must occur within this Jubilee year. This year, if correct, would mark the end of 6,000 years since Adam and Eve first sinned, and the start of the great day of the Lord, which is 7 years of God's wrath, followed by 1,000 years of peace on earth, while our Lord Jesus Christ is reigning on the earth. Also, another confirmation that the day of vengeance is about to come is the fact that World War III is about to begin. World War III is going to be nuclear, and it will destroy the earth. That's another confirmation that we don't have another decade. Famine is here now. Pestilence is here now. Thousands of people are being killed daily all around the world. The gospel has been preached to all the nations via the internet. We are coming up on 2,000 years since the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God. And the world is still rejecting the love of the truth that is the gospel of our salvation. And for this very reason, the world is ripe for judgment. But God has declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet. And what did He tell us from the beginning? He made the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs, and He gave us the sign of His coming. The sun will turn to darkness, and the moon to blood, and the stars will fall onto the earth. So we know that the rapture can only happen during a blood moon, according to prophecy and according to the scriptures. The children of the day will know when our Lord is coming, but the rest of the world is in darkness. And to the rest of the world, He is going to come as a thief in the night. The world does not know the sign of His coming, but His children, the children of the light that are watching, they know His sign, because we know His word. Maranatha, I love you all, and God bless you all.